What if the path to lasting peace wasn't found in a monastery or a therapist's office, but in understanding how your brain physically changes when you practice compassion? Neuroscience and ancient Buddhist wisdom converge in a revolutionary framework that maps awakening not as mystical transcendence, but as trainable neural patterns. 7 qualities emerge consistently across contemplative traditions: mindfulness, kindness, contentment, wholeness, presence, connectedness, and luminosity. And brain imaging now reveals their biological signatures. This isn't about achieving enlightenment on a mountaintop. It's about rewiring your neural circuitry through specific, evidence-based practices. Picture 85 billion neurons forming several hundred trillion connections, creating every thought, feeling, and moment of awareness you've ever experienced. This enchanted loom evolved over billions of years. And here's the revolutionary insight. Spiritual transformation operates through natural biological processes. When you meditate, pray, or practice compassion, specific brain regions light up. Areas governing attention, emotional regulation, and sense of self physically change. This isn't metaphorical. Neurons that fire together wire together, creating a powerful feedback loop where temporary mental states become enduring traits through neuroplasticity. The mountain metaphor matters. Awakening unfolds progressively, each step building upon the last, accessible to busy parents and corporate executives alike. Even modest progress yields tangible benefits: reduced anxiety, deeper relationships, greater emotional resilience. What contemplatives discovered through millennia of introspection, neuroscience now confirms. Your brain literally takes its shape from what you rest your attention on. Your brain carries an evolutionary negativity bias. Painful experiences stick like Velcro, while positive ones slide off like Teflon. This once kept ancestors alive, but now fuels anxiety. The solution? Deliberately install positive experiences. Have a beneficial experience. Enrich it by savoring details. Absorb it by feeling it in your body. And optionally, link positive and negative material. Each time, you're rewiring neural pathways, converting fleeting moments into lasting structures. The deepest roots of suffering lie in 3 biologically based drives: safety, satisfaction, and connection. By developing inner resources, you deepen your sailboat's keel, navigating life's winds without tipping into reactivity. Children are uniquely vulnerable. Their fear-triggering amygdala is fully formed at birth, while the calming hippocampus doesn't develop until age 3. Early experiences get stored in implicit memory, without conscious recollection, creating buried material reactivated by similar cues decades later. Your attention jumps like a caffeinated squirrel because it functions as both spotlight and vacuum cleaner, illuminating experiences while pulling them into your brain. Some people are naturally focused turtles, others distractible jackrabbits, both normal variations that once served evolutionary purposes. Modern culture amplifies this through constant notifications, while past trauma hijacks attention toward threats. Neuroscience offers 5 practical solutions. First, set clear intentions and choose an attention anchor: your breath, a mantra, anything consistent. Second, actively direct attention rather than letting it drift. Third, ease your body through longer exhalations, activating the parasympathetic nervous system. Fourth, cultivate warm-hearted feelings to release oxytocin, which calms the amygdala's alarm system. Finally, generate gratitude to maintain dopamine levels that keep the gate of attention closed to distractions. With practice, the monkey mind settles, not through force, but through understanding its neural architecture. Compassion wishes beings not suffer. Kindness wishes them happy. This distinction reveals that not all wanting causes suffering. The desire to be more patient or help others represents healthy aspiration. Unhealthy craving emerges when we pursue goals unskillfully, clinging desperately to outcomes beyond our control. Our capacity for both love and hate reflects evolutionary heritage. Humans lived in small bands competing for resources. Those better at cooperation, bonding, trust, compassion, passed on their genes. But those better at fearing and fighting outsiders also survived. Each person carries two wolves in their heart, one of love, one of hate. The wolf of hate cannot be eliminated. It's part of our nature. Anger energizes action and highlights injustice. Many people, especially those facing systemic oppression, have had legitimate anger suppressed. Self-compassion applies the same sensitivity to your own suffering. Research shows it reduces self-criticism while increasing resilience and willingness to try new things. Contrary to fears, it doesn't breed self-centeredness. It often soothes hurts that would otherwise keep you preoccupied with yourself. The practice includes not harming others through wise speech, action, and livelihood, but also extends to not harming yourself, often the harder challenge. Suffering comes not from experiences themselves, but from holding on to them. Craving stems from three sources: social factors like insecure attachment, visceral factors from unmet needs, and cognitive factors like believing something impermanent will last forever. Your brain's midline networks enable mental time travel, planning tomorrow while replaying yesterday. Studies show our minds wander about half the time, often tilting toward negativity. Most suffering stems from internal conflict, wanting a cookie while another part warns against it. We push away vulnerable aspects of ourselves, locking them in rooms of our mental house. This repression leads to numbness, diminished vitality, and fear of being discovered. Through radical acceptance of all parts, the scared, angry, and insecure aspects, we reclaim wholeness while still acting appropriately. When we shift into present moment awareness without judgment, activity decreases in midline cortices and increases in lateral networks, including the insula, which supports body sensation awareness. Doing mode focuses on parts, goals, past and future. Being mode embraces the whole picture, present moment, and sensory experience. Modern life overtrains our midline networks, creating dominance where being is overtaken by doing. Strengthening wholeness involves resting in fullness to reduce midline cortical activity, sensory focus to quiet left brain chatter, practicing not knowing to disengage categorizing, and gestalt awareness to perceive unified wholes. Conventional psychology defines the self through stability over time, unity as one me, and independence from experiences. Close observation reveals the opposite. The I constantly changes, multiple subpersonalities exist, and the sense of self shifts with countless influences. Neuroscience finds no stable, unified, independent basis for self. Neural correlates are transient, scattered across the brain with no single location. The brain routinely shifts between egocentric, personal, subjective, and allocentric, impersonal, objective. When the sense of self decreases, we experience ease and openness. No self, no problem. The sense of self causes suffering through taking things personally, defensiveness, and possessiveness. This isn't nihilism or denial of personhood. It's recognizing that the supposed fixed entity inside, looking out through your eyes, is itself a construction, constantly arising and passing away. We've journeyed from neural architecture to self-dissolution, from steadying attention to opening into vastness. Each practice, steadying, warming, resting, being, receiving, opening, finding, represents both fruit and path, valuable in itself while carrying you higher. These aren't exotic states reserved for monastics, but natural capacities accessible through consistent practice, even just 1 real minute daily. Take in the good, helping beneficial experiences become lasting neural strengths. Recognize what is wholesome in yourself, others, and everything. Balance compassion with equanimity, caring deeply while maintaining inner peace. Tend to causes, but don't control results. Like making an offering, do your best work without attachment to outcomes. Life is wild. Here we are on a small planet circling an ordinary star among trillions of galaxies, nearly 14 billion years after our universe bubbled into being. Be gobsmacked with awe and gratitude. Your brain takes its shape from what you rest your attention on. Choose wisely. Keep going.